or tape CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, May the 24th, 2008. Glenn Miller is a speaker of the service teaching on doctrines of demons.
I'm going to talk a little bit, partly, about wolves in sheep's clothing. That kind of my title that I put on this is false prophets. So, in Micah chapter 3, page 853, verse 11, Micah 3:11, it says, "The heads therefore judge for reward, and the priests teach for hire, and the prophets divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us." They prophesy for money, and they say, "But we're doing it for the Lord, so the Lord will bless it." Now, see, I've been around a few days, really a few years, almost a few decades. And I've lived to see this in great extreme. In the full gospel businessman where I traveled for about 15 years, and I've seen it right here. And it's an abomination to God. And we have a rule here. I don't say much about it because it's pretty well known. But there's a rule here that if somebody comes up and hands you money, you're to tell them that that's where the offer goes in the offering plate. That's what the offering plate's for. And if they insist and just almost force it on you, then you should come and give it to Patty. And most ministers know that, they come here. Because what they're doing is trying to buy favors. And we had one minister here, he was about 35, came here several times. Oh, he was good. He could preach and sing and play all the instruments, prophesy, and he was staying at somebody's house one time, and when dinner was over, he said, "Well, I better go to my room and get a good prophecy for Sister So-and-so," he called her name. She was a woman from Louisiana, and he said, "It's good for $100 bill in my pocket." And we said that at the dinner table. Well, that just really upset his guest. And they told me before the service started that night what had happened. Well, but before that week was out, some other things happened with him. abomination to the Lord. And so I witness what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about something that I don't know about. I know about witches and warlocks. We've had them both here. And the warlock seemed to have gotten saved. I trust he did. But at the same time, when we found out about it, he was giving gifts to people. Now, a gift from somebody, a Satan worshiper, carries a curse with it. And he gave one party about $1,000 mink coat. I don't know where he got the coat. But after we found out who he was and what he was doing, we broke the curse and we burned the coat. Then we had another witch that came here from Oregon. And she was a prophetess, supposedly of the Lord. But she got a group of, I say, silly women here at the campground. And during the afternoon service, I had not noticed that some of the people were not here. We have, the Lord has here who he wants here. But ordinarily we have at least a minimum of twice as many people for camp meeting. And I don't always know and see when somebody's not in the service. Somebody come in during the service and called me out and said, you know that woman that's here from Oregon that's got that long black hair? She's down at the lake with a group of women washing their feet and prophesying to them and wiping their hair with their feet with her hair. I said, thank you. It didn't take me about 2 minutes till I was in the middle of it. Right? I couldn't have got there much faster with wings. And I walked up and I said, you silly one, don't you know I'm a false prophet? Don't you know that a service is going on and a true prophet would be in the service? They wouldn't have people out of the service. I said, all you women get up to the service and you stay there. And I said to this woman, I said, I want you on the next plane back to Oregon. And I saw that she did. And I've had another, but that's, I've had a group of Satan worshippers coming here in camp. And but anyway, just so you understand that I have experienced these things. And they may happen again and again. See, Satan, he doesn't quit. He comes back, only in a different way. So, you have to be, what is it? As, it's true. Well, over in 2 Peter, page 246, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. But there were many false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know, one time in the middle 60s, Herm and I were invited to come to this wonderful meeting that was going to be held out in Palmdale, California. And they wanted me to bring my tape recorders and record the services. And they wanted Herman to come sit up two or three tables of bucks like this. So we knew the people who invited us real well. We thought. So we agreed to come. And they had a house for it. It was at a motel in the banquet room of the motel. And we had we must have had close to 200 people. And we had wonderful praise and worship. And it was really, and I thought, well, this seems like home, you know. Because praise and worship, I tell you, if it's from God, you enjoy it. And this seemed to me. But then, come time for the speakers, I don't know, somebody, got a man got up and talked for a little bit, and his talk was to introduce the main speaker, who was a woman who had just come from Australia. Her name was Van Halten, no. Anyway, last I heard of her, she was living in Florida. I hope you never got it. Really lost her. Well, anyway, she gets up and she starts in teaching, and she talks about the things of God and how God created everything and how God created things and in the cycle of God's creation, everything is in a great circle, and everything that's gone out from God is going to come back to God in the eons of the eons. And she carried on and on about this, you know. And then pretty soon she said, and in the eons of time, all of God's creation is going to come back to God. And she said, and one day, I'm going to walk down the streets of gold in heaven, arm in arm with Lucifer, with a six-pack in the other hand. My blood kind of ran cold. I mean, it did. And I said, as soon as it was over, I went to Irma. And I said, Irma, we don't belong here. I said, we don't want any part of this. So that was my introduction to ultimate reconciliation. I really had never heard of it before, but I heard of it that night. And then, of course, everybody, all creation, will eventually in the eons be saved. Well, that's a doctrine straight from hell. Now, of course, the Baptists have a doctrine that's almost as bad, called eternal security. Once saved, always saved. I can't find that in the Bible. And neither can I find that where they teach that there's no hell. Because if that's true, then Jesus told us a lie. Jesus said the rich man was in hell and tormented. And he said this fire. Now either that's true or Jesus was lying to us. And if he was lying to us, then the whole word is worthless. So, Jesus says that there is a hell and there's torment, and those who don't serve him will go there, just as the rich man did. So, over in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, verse 11 says, and this is Jesus, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity, and boy, we got it today, is multiplying on every hand, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold or become indifferent. And then verse 24 says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect. Well, Scripture also says that there are false prophets, and Antichrist was in the earth back in Paul's day already. And if they were there then, I don't think they haven't multiplied today. Now, down in Florida, you've got a man that claims he's the Christ. He's got a following, and he's got a church down in Jamaica or somewhere also, and he's got a following of a couple of million people, and he says he's Christ. Well, we've had others before him that have said the same thing, but a multitude of these people that are following him are people that have come out of the Pentecostal Baptist charismatic congregations. And they should know, Abel, but they're sheep that do not have a shepherd. They're wayward stars, wander from one place to another, looking for somebody to say some kind of a prophecy over their head that they can try to live by. Well, prophecy is wonderful. I've had a lot of them, but I don't try to live by them. And if they're of God, they'll come to pass. And if they're not, so what? And some of the prophecies that have been prophesied have come to pass. Some of them haven't. Maybe they will yet. But I don't write them down. I can't tell you what they are. I don't live by those. I live by it is written. And if it's not written, then I'm not interested. No matter how good a Bible teacher you are, unless you're teaching it is written, you're teaching false doctrine. Leviticus chapter 20. I want to read you a verse. I got so many notes in my Bible, it's hard to turn the pages. But they're all there for a purpose, because they're markers for some writing I'm working on. And I've already found the scriptures where these markers are that I will need. In Leviticus, it's chapter 20, I'm sorry. It's page 24, but chapter 20. And verse 22. It says, you shall therefore keep my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out, and that you walk not in the manner of other nations. And then other places, there are scriptures that says statutes and precepts. Now, we have a lot of things, especially on the internet. There are a lot of things on the internet that are heresy. And they are, and it's all they've always been. It's not something new. But they're gaining a lot of followers. And one woman who claims to be a prophetess claims that Paul is a minister to Satan, just as Judas was, and that Paul's writings all contradict the writings of the four Gospels. And she calls Paul a snake. I would fear God to make any such statements. And she's got a big following. Everything that glitters is not gold. And you've got to be very careful about what you read. Unless they back it up with it is written. Now, she contends that Paul is an insert of Satan. And so, there, in my opinion, she is she's a false prophet. She's an insert of Satan into the body of Christ. And how people could fall for that is almost hard to believe. Now, we have another situation that we've been getting a lot of calls about. And it's this so-called revival that's going on in Florida. I got something here. Where did I put it? Here it is over here. Now, there's supposed to be this great revival in Florida, and hundreds of people are flocking there. It's of the devil. I stand and declare it's of the devil, it's not God. And here is the man who's head of it. Pass that around. He's the man to whom, no, pass it this way. He's the man to whom all the wonders and miracles are being performed by him. They're being performed by a demon. And you can go to other parts of the world and have witch doctors pray for you, and cancers will disappear, tumors will disappear. And the witch doctor prays for you. Now, this man is a contradiction to the Word of God. And I'll read you some scripture. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21. You see, I'm a shepherd. You're my responsibility. When you sit in this congregation, I'm responsible for you. You might think that's not so, but it is so. And it's my responsibility that you be informed of these things, and these that they've taken place in the past, they're taking place in the present, and they will take place in the future. But the Lord says that you're to know His voice. And how do you know it? You know it because it is here. Here it is. Now, in Exodus, now, also, it's too late to back out. But some of you ladies this evening are also going to be going to question what I'm going to what I'm going to say. And then don't come to me about it. You take it up with God. Because the Lord said there who keep His commandments, His statutes, and His precepts. They're all the same. They're all His commandments. And none of them have been taken away. The only thing that Jesus took away at Calvary was the now it slipped my mind. When he was at Calvary, He took away the ordinances. He removed the ordinances of sacrifice of the lamb and the sheep and the dove and the blood. Jesus did away with that. He did not do away with the precepts or the statutes or the commandments, because they are all one. Of course, there's the Ten Commandments and these others. Now, let me show you by the Word why that man is a false prophet. Well, first, let me tell you something else. You see, he claims that he has an angel, a female angel, that comes and guides him. And then this angel wears a long white lace dress, and that she floats about a foot off the floor around him. And he also claims that this is the angel that was with William Branham. Well, you see, I was a personal friend of William Branham. You see, I helped William Branham in some of his crusades. In fact, I sponsored one crusade of William Branham in the San Fernando Valley. I put up a tent that seated 1,500 people, and we packed it out every night for a week. I also went to Mexico to arrange for him to go and hold a big crusade in Mexico. So I know William Branham. And William Branham did not have a female angel that came to him. William Branham, there was an angel that came to William Branham that appeared. And this angel is in pictures that have been taken of Brother Branham when he was ministering on the platform. In fact, you see, I sold Brother Branham's organization thousands of tapes, and I recorded several of his services, including the one in California where he prophesied about the earthquake that is yet to come to Los Angeles. I was there when he prophesied that, and I have the original recording of that prophecy. It's down in the basement there, like where that water is in the ground. I don't know, I forgot to show you all the rows and rows of tapes in the basement. Well, one of those tapes is that one. Brother Branham would not come out on the platform until the anointing of the Lord came. And he would know when the anointing came, because an angel would come and appear on the platform to him. No, other people did not see it unless it was in a photo. And there have been lots of photos taken that the angel was in the photo. Now, the person taking the picture did not see the angel, but the angel was in the picture. And Brother Branham, we would pass out cards to the congregation, and we had about four different colored cards that we'd pass to the congregation, and they would write down the need that they had in their heart on this card. They would write down their name and address, platform. Somebody was standing there. And when Brother Branham come on the phone and was ready to pray, what? The person standing there would take the card from the person. And they would walk up to Brother Branham for him to pray for him. Brother Branham never saw the card. But before Brother Branham prayed for them, no matter who they were, he told them something about their personal life. He told them where they lived. He told them what was wrong with them. He didn't always tell everybody the same thing. We would tell them something about them that was on that card that he never saw. Then he would pray for the people, for the person. Now, and the angel that this charlatan claims is Brother Branham's angel is a demon. It is not an angel of God. It's a demon of Satan. Now, so, let's see. Well, we'll start. And then, I warn you ahead of time. You wouldn't get offended at me because of you, or might want to. And you'll find out in a bit why. This is just God's word I'm reading. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master and my wife and my children, I will not go free. And his master shall bring him to the judge, shall bring him to the door, under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. What is that a sign of? Slavery. Pierced ears are a sign of slavery. And we've had many women that have come for prayer that could not receive deliverance until they renounced their pierced ears, removed the earrings, and that's forgiveness, and then the soul tie broken with the person that pierced their ears. Because, you see, they made a blood covenant with that person that pierced their ears. And blood was drawn. And they are under, you realize it or not, that party that pierced your ears has a power over your life. And we've had people, women, who have had a spirit of harlotry, Jezebel, and harlotry, and could not be set free until they renounced their pierced ears and took the earrings out of their ears and destroyed them. Now, you see, I'm not standing here telling you this just to upset somebody. I'm telling you it because it is written and because I'm the voice of experience. I have lived through several hundred times of praying with women who have had pierced earrings and could not get free until they renounced them. Maybe it don't bother you, but you take that up with you and God. I'm not your judge. See, God's your judge, but it is written. Now, let's see if we can find that someplace else. Well, let's go over to Deuteronomy 14. You see, in the mouth are two or three witnesses. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 14. You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourself or make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen me to be a peculiar people of Himself above all the nations upon the earth. And then it goes on to other things. But you see, and now, also, let's look at Deuteronomy 15. Well, verse 17 is the same as I already read back in Exodus 21. But you see, the Lord says we're a holy people, and we're not to make any cuttings or marking of our body, which is tattoos. Now, that picture I passed around, this great man of God in Florida that thousands of people are flocking to see, has cuttings all over his body, tattoos of Jesus, and all kinds of other things. And some of them he's gotten just recently, since he's supposed to be this great servant of God. But it is written, it says you are not to make any cuttings on your body. And he has drawn blood every time he's been tattooed. And the demon person who tattooed him has a soul tie with him. Now, he's also got his body pierced. And he's put that in his face since this great revival started in Florida. He has done that since then. Now, I tell you that he is demon possessed. He's an insert of Satan. He's a prophet of the devil. And if you go there and get hands laid on, you'll get some of his demons. And it's not God that's going to heal you. It's going to be a demon. Beware of those who say they're of God and they're of the synagogue of Satan. Now, you see, I don't do this very often, but with all this going on down there, and all I know about all these other things that I have witnessed or had happen here, see, I'm responsible to tell you what, so you're not become a partaker of the table of the devil. And so, anyway, in Deuteronomy 19, I've already read that. That was back in Leviticus. We've already read that. I think we did. Let me go back and see. Leviticus chapter 19. Let's see what that is. Leviticus, verse 28. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh, for the dead or put any marks upon you. I am the Lord. And then, I think it's the same in chapter 21, verse 5. Now, you shall not make any bones upon your head, neither shave the corner of your beard, nor make any cuttings in your flesh. For you shall be holy unto the Lord, to the Lord, and not profane the name of your God. For the offerings of the Lord, meat and fire and bread of God, they do offer, and they are holy. So there again, it says we are not to make any cuttings in our body. Then there's always been, ever since, see, I was born into Pentecost. My folks got the Holy Ghost and got saved at a little Pentecostal mission when I was a year old in 1922. So I've come up through Pentecost all my life. And I've heard the priest. teacher say? And of course, I was raised that Jesus is coming tomorrow. And I've heard the preacher say from the pulpit, don't paint the barn. Put the money to the missions. And if the fence didn't fix it, use barbed wire to fix it with. And for goodness sakes, don't send the kids to college, because that's a waste of time and money, because Jesus is coming. And they don't need to go to college. Well, because of that teaching, we lost a generation to the devil and the teaching of the word in my head is Mormonism, but that's not the word. The teaching of about things creating themselves. Evolution. Yeah. That teaching has abounded in the colleges, because there was nobody there to contradict them. Right. Now, my grandson was going to college here quite a few years back, and I forget what class they were in. And the teacher brought up about evolution. And my grandson, when he got through, my grandson stood up and said, whatever, he said, I don't believe that. And the whole class clapped. And the professor said, son, I don't believe it either. But it's just my job to tell you that. But we've lost that generation, because it was anybody there, barely a few there, to stand up for righteousness. Well, what I started to say was that being raised in Pentecost and these things about Jesus coming tomorrow and the raptures, you know, which I don't believe in anymore. I believe that we're here to set up the kingdom, and that we're here to fight the fight. And when the battle gets hot, it's our job to be here and not run away. We're to stand and fight. Whatever that means, I can't tell you until the hour arrives. But just as the Lord was hid in the midst and walked through the crowd, so the Lord will do the same for us, if that's the circumstance. Or he'll cover us so we can't be seen in the midst. Whatever. So, anyway, but ever since I can remember, and especially when I got older with the and learned, there's been those who have said that speaking in tongues is from the devil. And it's from the devil. Now, especially, we know, and it's nothing that I'm going to say that is different, that the Nazarenes have taught that for many years, that speaking in tongues is the devil. Well, I've been down through the years, and I've seen wonderful manifestations of tongues and interpretation, and I know by the Spirit that it was God and not the devil. But today, on the internet again, there are pages and pages about speaking in tongues is of the devil. Well, then if that is true, then all Pentecostals are demon-possessed. And that is not true. And all prophecy, Paul said, of course Paul's a of the devil too. But Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you. To build up. I travel a lot by myself. Go to town every day for a couple of hours to run all the errands necessary here. And they are, some days they're quite a bit. Now, when I went, was it Wednesday, Thursday? Thursday's the last time I made a big run to town. I had 12 stops I made Thursday morning for different things for the campground. Well, when I travel like that, why, it's a wonderful time to praise the Lord and to pray and to talk in tongues. Amen. Amen. And once in a while, the Lord sends a little idea into my head to help me with the things of the campground. Because the things of the campground are not as you hear these couple of days, see them every day. There are many problems from time to time. I hope that most of them are not serious, but sometimes some of them are. And sometimes I have to actually have the sheriff remove people from the campground. Now, I don't like to do that, but I have done it. And if it happens, situation arises where that's necessary, I'm capable of doing it again. And I will. But it's an extreme circumstance that happens. But you see, I'm the one that's responsible. Now, you might think, well, but I am. This is God's kingdom here. It's just a little grain of sand in His kingdom. But still yet, it's part of the kingdom. And I'm the head of it. So I have to try and keep it running as well oiled as possible. Sometimes that is a little hard in circumstances and situations. But over the years, God has given grace, and things that seem real hard at the time have eventually worked themselves out, even to those that I have had asked to leave. Many of them come back and said, I'm sorry for whatever the situation was. I'm sorry, and forgive me. And I say, well, I forgive you when I removed you, because after that, it's God's problem and not mine. And it has to be that way. It has to be that way. We have to live in according to the word of the Lord. Now, you need to study Leviticus and Deuteronomy, because you'll find many more things there that I believe and teach here that are in those chapters. Now, I'll mention two of them in passing. One, very quickly, is we do not eat anything here that God calls abominable. Because I have found out from secular study, that pork is one of the causes of arthritis. Now, it's not arthritis, but doctors tell you that it is. It's trichinosis. And I have papers from the Library of Congress and from the Agriculture Division of the United States that states that trichinosis, and I have an article from the doctor's magazine that comes out every month. I forget what the name of it is. But I get it. And I have an article from there that states that trichinosis is at least 50% of what is diagnosed as arthritis. But they believe that it is more like 70%. Washington, D.C., the Agriculture Division has taken a pork roast and cooked it for 1 hour at 750 degrees temperature. And when they cut it apart, it still had living trichinosis in it. Now, they put a timer in it. They didn't put it in at 750 and leave it. They brought it up to 750 and then kept it in there for another hour. And it still had living trichinosis in it. What is trichinosis? And why some other animals have trichinosis too? I think possums do, and coons. But trichinosis is a little tiny worm that multiplies by the millions, and it doesn't hurt a hog because God created hogs to be scavengers. And a hog, you put hogs in timber that's infested with rattlesnakes, in a month's time, there will not be another rattlesnake in the timber. Because a rattlesnake does not hurt a hog when it bites it. They are immune to the rattlesnake because they are already full of poison. Because they are God's scavenger, just like the buzzard. The buzzard and the hog is God's scavengers. And they can eat. The hog will eat his own. Will eat his own. If it's dead. A hog will eat anything that's dead. He'll eat a human. He'll eat his own. But a hog has a built-in system that is immune to poison. And we used to butcher, and Daddy could make the best sausage in the country. All the other farmers used to bring their sausage to Daddy for him to make sausage for. So, but nobody taught us this. Nobody told us that God said that there's some things that are an abomination to him. Even though we were told that Peter's vision did away with all of those things. Peter's vision has nothing to do with eating anything. It has to do with Peter going. Peter had three visions. Three heathens were waiting at the door. Peter didn't question the visions. He went with the three heathens because he'd seen the unclean, and he went and brought the gospel. And Peter didn't go eat pork when he came down off the roof. He went with the three heathens who the three visions represented. Well, anyway, back to the hog. In the hog's knuckles, front and back, all four, are little veins that drain the pus and the poison out of a hog system. There's a little drain right here in all four knuckles. And the poison that a hog accumulates from eating rotten stuff drains out his knuckles. And of course, I never did eat them, but my folks sold the knuckles to other people who made pig kennels and pig's feet. But this, anyway, I don't know how I got on this. I never intended that all of that is another subject. But you'll find it. But I'll mention one other thing. That's in Leviticus, I believe it's chapter 15. And if the preacher that I sit under or my parents had taught this, it would have made a great difference in the lives. It's chapter 18 of Leviticus. And I believe that this should be taught from every pulpit, by every preacher, by every father to his children. The 18th chapter of Leviticus. Because if it were, we wouldn't have lesbians and homosexuals. We wouldn't have all the problems with abortion. We wouldn't have all the problems with pregnant girls if it were taught that God said, you shall not do these things. You see, when I'm the oldest of seven children, and of course, a lot of large families in the countryside, and they were all church members, and they came on Sundays. We went to different farmhouses and had a big chicken dinner, and the kids all went out and played behind the barn, boys and girls. And when we got caught, all we were told was, you shouldn't do that. That's not right. But you see, we should have been taught from the pulpit that God said, you shall not do these things. And if you do, you're to be stoned. Or you're to be put to death. And my father should have taught me that. He should have sent all of us children down and said, God, here's what God said. Let me tell you what God says. And God said three times. In verse 9 of Leviticus 18, it appears three times in two more chapters. So God thinks it very important. And he takes in the family. You're divorced. You're remarried. You've got more children by your second marriage. Your wife's got children by the first marriage. Father's got children by the first marriage. Now you're married again. You've got children by the second marriage. But you've also got two other families. So you've got three families here in this verse. And everywhere where the word nakedness appears, they want to be modest when they translated this. I'll read it as to the original saints. Having sex with your sister, the daughter of your father, or daughter of your mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even sex with them you shall not have, nor uncover their nakedness. It says, you shall not have sex now with your step brother or sister, or sex with the children that are now your half brother or sister. All three, you see. And then it goes on to say, you shall have sex with your mother in law, or the homecoming is here. But nobody teaches that. I do. Because if my master had taught that, if my father had sat down and taught that, us kids wouldn't have got in the troubles that we were in, was an abomination and brought a curse on the from bestiality. You've got to kill the beast and the person. Both. A just God. He wouldn't do that. He's a God of love. Yeah. But he's also a God of justice. And holiness. Well, Lord. Yes. The other scavengers, some of them, there are many. Yes. Catfish is a scavenger. Doesn't have scales. Shrimp, clams, oysters, they're all God's cleaning to clean the beaches and the oceans, to clean up the filth. And that's why they're just like the hog. That's why God says we're not dead. Now, I used to like shrimp until I read this and I saw that God said it's abomination to him. And then there's a reason for it. Because they're God's scavengers to clean up the filth. And we found that out. I don't know, people getting awful sick from eating oysters. There have been several people that have died from eating oysters. But you see, God said in the first place, don't do it. Well, study for yourself to see if these things be so. God said, keep my commandments, my statutes, and my judgments. And that is your responsibility, not mine. But it's my responsibility to tell you that it is written, and God said that this is his word. Amen. Tom, come and close the service for me, please, and however the Lord would have you. Amen.
Well, we've heard some information this evening that may be disturbing, but study it out. I want to add a few things about the tattoos. If you've got one, just repent and break the soul tie and don't get another one. And the pierced ears. Break soul ties with the people. Even if you've done that yourself, because I know a lot of women has pierced their own ears. Just repent. But the thing about the tattoos is, in the old days, they made a blood covenant in the battlefields with the soldiers. They would cut this forearm and the other person's forearm, and they would put them together. And there would be a mark on it. If you come into battle with that person, you saw that scar, you knew you'd have to kill that man, and the next person, and the next person, and the next person that made this covenant with this person. And these tattoos are quite similar to that. Now, in the world we're in today, there's a lot of people that's into spiritualism and into the psychic realm and into this area. And if one of these people or gives you a tattoo or into this, it's a perfect legal right for them to channel things to you. Now, the reason why we understand this is because we prayed with a lot of people, lots of people, and we've seen manifestations of people coming free. And I mean, some of them pretty strong. I mean, they're really strong. So, it's from the Spirit of the Lord that we understand this. Now, don't take offense at us. But you talk to God about it. And if you've got one, I wouldn't suggest you go get it cut off because you're going to form another blood covenant with somebody. Just pray over it and know don't do it again. And break soul ties with that person for sure. Now, the question was, should I put clothes over it? Well, are you walking in shame when you start trying to hide it? It's a perfect time to preach the same message to whoever asks you about your tattoo. I made a mistake. I've learned that it can be a wire puller or a string puller or a channeling area for me between that tattoo artist and myself. But I repented and I prayed over it and broke covenants with it and broke soul ties with that particular person. So I don't want to preach condemnation on you. I would say, God loves you, just don't do it again. Go and sin no more. That's when he spoke over the people and prayed for him, and when he healed him, he said, go and show yourself to the priest and don't do it anymore. Yeah, unless the worst thing come upon you. So, just like Brother Glenn was talking about, with the earrings, and sometimes we ask people to take off necklaces and rings and things of this, because the same thing, there's soul ties between these things. And if I get a chance, I'm going to preach on soul ties before the camp leaves. So, and speak a little bit more about it. But right now, if anybody has any really disturbing, if your spirit is really being disturbed, we would more than love to pray with you that we can, because Brother Glenn, in the world, if there's a cat, there's a saying, you stroke the cat the wrong way, we need to get the fur back down the right way. So, you've heard about the canary going through the fan, you know, wop, 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 and their feathers get all out of joint. Now, God says that he forgives you. God said he loves you. And God said he would forgive anything that you've done without knowing about it. But now, then you have iniquity. If you know about it, and you go and do it, that's iniquity. And guess what? It takes a lot of prayer, fasting and prayer and reading and repenting to come up out of that sin. Do you understand what iniquity is? I'm going to say that again. If we know it, we don't know it's a sin, it's just a sin. But if we know it is a sin and have been told about it, have been warned about it, had explained about it, have prayed with you about it, and you go do it again, that's iniquity. There's a different charge. So, if anybody needs prayer before we leave tonight, we'd be glad to pray with you. And because we love you, God loves you. And God sent his only Son to die upon the cross to set you free. And so, therefore, we'd be glad to pray with you.
Let me speak one thing. I was praying with someone this morning, and they had a hexagram on, and I didn't say anything. And God convicted me. Now, y'all know what a hexagram is? You know what a hexagram is? Somebody tell me what a hexagram is? It's the so-called Star of David. David never saw it. A hexagram is a witchcraft symbol. It is a thing in which a demon comes up in when you conjure up a demon in spirituality, in spiritualism, or in witchcraft. They rise up in the hexagram. And you stand in a pentagram, which is a five-component star with a circle around it, and that is your protection. The pentagram, the hexagram, which came out of Jewish Kabbalah, which is Jewish witchcraft, and it surfaced someplace between 1600 and 1700, was picked up by the Zionists in 1800 and labeled the Star of David, for which it then became the accepted symbol of the Jewish state and appears on the Jewish flag as the Star of David. It's not a Star of David. It is a witchcraft symbol. Lots of people in their support for Israel will use one, will wear a six-pointed. I mean, you're wearing a witchcraft symbol. And a demon's got a right to come up in that thing. A pentagram means that you depend on that to protect you from demons and not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a five-point star up there, but it doesn't have a circle around it. You put a circle around it, you've got a witchcraft symbol. If you got the star, if you got the point pointed down and the other two out, you can put Satan's head in it. But it depends on how you're looking at it. But you don't want a pentagram with a circle around it. You don't want a five-pointed star with a circle around it. But that means you're depending on it to protect you. And that's idolatry. I just want to tell you, if you're wearing a six-pointed star, give it to Brother Glenn. He's got a hole. He'll drop it in.
Yeah. Read the Word. And I suggest every one of you go home and read the first five books of the Bible and study them the best of your ability. And if you have questions, the phone and the telephone number is on a little paper. Call here, and Brother Doc will be around, Glenn will be around, and the rest of the staff. Somebody will get you an answer, you know, to fulfill the need of your question. But there's so many things out there, just like in the Catholic Church, you got a Christopher's medal to protect you? Same thing. Jesus Christ is, he's dead. Yeah. And Jesus is alive and well. So, really consider what we've talked about. Because it could be your freedom. It could be your life. It could be your wife's life, your husband's life, your children's life. Consider it. Yeah. And the six-pointed stars in the Masonic Lodge. So we need to be aware. We need to know. And really, normally we come out a lot sooner with a lot of these witchcraft things, and but somehow we just got this far into the camp and it's starting to come out. But yeah, and so beware. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, right now, Lord, that you're opening our understanding to the Word. Lord, thank you that you're enlightening our spirits. But God, I thank you that you have a forgiveness that's waiting for us. But we need to ask for it. And we thank you, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody needs prayer? We'll be glad to pray for you. 6 o'clock in the morning from the prayer meeting. Don't forget that. And have a good night's sleep.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.